Palm Sunday treat for you. I asked back a month or two ago, I asked Pastor Matthew if he would bring the Palm Sunday message. Amen. And so this morning, you're going to have a treat. You know, Pastor Matthew, when he comes in on a Sunday, he's got a treat for you. And I'm excited about this morning. And so if you would, let's stand to our feet. Let's give thanks to God. But at the same time, let's just give a big shout out to our associate pastor, Pastor Matthew Farmer. Amen.
Praise God. You can be seated. Amen. It's so good to see everybody. I like to come down on the floor, so, and you'll thank me later.
Thank you.
All right. So, I do want to acknowledge my friend, Mr. Bob Wilson's here today from Arlington, and he's one of those people that has a heart to help people, and he goes beyond to do that. He's helped the church so many times, and we're very thankful that you're here, and thank you. Thank you. Amen. I was thinking about Palm Sunday, and I was thinking about the plan of God for our lives. And we all have a particular race that we need to run and that God has set before us to run. And sometimes we get impatient with that plan. Like, I'm ready to be at part Z when I'm only at part minus A, you know? But what seems like a great big deal of time to us, to God, it's nothing. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be at rest. And when we're at peace and we're at rest, we're in faith and we're doing what he's called us to do. But sometimes when we're getting flustered because it's rough and tough and we're living through our precarious pickle and we got crazy people all around us, we can get flustered about it. And we wonder, God, what's the plan that you have for me, Father? And I heard Brother Keith Moore say this, the plan of God is the glory of God prepared by the love of God, especially for the child of God, me. And add yourself there. Say that with me. The plan of God is the glory of God prepared by the love of God, especially for the child of God, me. He has prepared this for you. From the foundations of the earth, he had you in mind, counted every hair on your head, and knows exactly what you're called to do. But it's up to us to step into it. It's up to us to walk it out. We need to ask him and follow what he's leading us to do, but are we listening and are we acting upon it? Amen. He has plans to prosper us, plans to give us a hope and a future. He has plans for us. And that's why one of the reasons Jesus came to earth was to be that ransom for us so we can walk out those plans. In chapter 11, verse number 7, and we're looking at Jesus here on Palm Sunday, and they brought the colt to Jesus. And they threw their clothes on it and sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Many came out and threw their clothes and threw their branches down, blessing him as he's walking forward. And Jesus knew, and we're going to share some scriptures with you, he knew that this was the place, this was the plan for him to enter on that day, to enter Jerusalem. This would be the climax and the culmination of his ministry. He had prepared for this moment just like an athlete trains for their big event. In Luke chapter 18, verse 31, in the Passion, it says, Jesus took the 12 aside in private and told them, we're going to Jerusalem. So guess where they were going to go? Just like when he said, we're going to the other side, guess where they were going? But he said, we're going to Jerusalem so that everything prophesied about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. They will betray him. hand him over to the people, and they will mock him, insult him, and spit in his face. And after they have abused and flogged the Son of Man, they will kill him. But in 3 days, he will rise again. He had been telling them all along this is what he was called to do. And some of them didn't get it. If you continue reading that verse, the disciples were like, what you talking about, Jesus? But they still weren't getting it. But he was moving toward and pressing toward Jerusalem because that was his plan that God had for him. Luke 9:51 in the Passion, it says, Jesus passionately determined to leave for Jerusalem. He was passionately determined to do that for you. For you. Say, for me. In Luke chapter 13, verse 22 in the New Living, it says, Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he went, always pressing on toward Jerusalem. The Message says, but keeping on a steady course toward Jerusalem. He had been moving toward Jerusalem for you. There was a purpose in every step that he was doing. His internal compass was leading him there. His purpose was totally clear. He was on a single mission to come to die for you. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the turmoil. He said it there in Mark chapter 11. He said, Luke chapter 18. He said, they're going to hand me over. They're going to mock me. They're going to insult me. They're going to spit in my face. They're going to flog. He knew exactly what was going to go on, but he did it for you because he loved you. Amen? Great multitudes just showed up. All those that were in the crowd were those that he had prayed for or ministered to. They were excited for him to be there. Thousands were there, many that he had healed and raised from the dead and taught and fed. And they were hopeful and they were stirred out. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which meant this is going to be the guy that's going to come up and set up the kingdom and free us from all the Romans. They weren't seeing it the way he was seeing it. He was seeing it, I'm coming to liberate you, but I'm coming to liberate you for eternity. They were crying, Hosanna. The translated, save we pray, or there he is. Hosanna in the name of the Lord. Spontaneously they put out clothes and blankets and cut branches, and they did this to welcome him, to invite him, and to celebrate him. It was an act of honor, rolling out the red carpet for him. That's like what we do when Chuck comes to church, you know. We roll out the red carpet. I take my shirt off and I lay it on the floor, you know. He's going to walk on holy ground here, you know. Jesus knew the plan, and he knew he was passionately determined. The Jews were coming looking for a Messiah to come to free them, but he knew he was coming. He came in riding on a donkey. That was neat. Did you see that? Let's do it again. Whoa, look at that. Jesus grew in that. But he came riding in on a donkey because it was prophesied that he would. Because at that time, when a king came in as a liberator, he would come in riding on a donkey as a sign of peace. He wasn't coming in to conquer. He was coming in as a sign of peace, saying, I'm bringing life and health and strength to your lives. Amen? It was prophesied in Zechariah there that he will be endowed and mounted on a donkey. But Jesus knew. He knew. His plan was the way it was going to be, and it was different than the way the others thought, but he knew why he was there to liberate us. He knew the pain, the struggle, the agony that this path led to. However, he knew what would happen if the price wasn't paid, that all of us would be, we needed to be ransomed. Amen. He knew every lash, every bruise, every drop of blood was to save us. And he was passionately determined. He was always pressing on toward Jerusalem for the plan of God. What was the plan of God? It's the plan of God is the glory of God prepared by the love of God for us, the child of God. Amen? He was moving toward Jerusalem. It was totally clear to him. He didn't give up. Or give in. There may be times where we don't feel like completing our race. We're tired. We're broken. We may be broke. We don't feel well. We're having to put up with crazy people, crazy employees, crazy drivers, crazy whatever it is. We want to give up and give in. I remember a story about Brother Kenneth Hagin when he was 16. He was paralyzed in bed, couldn't move, legs dead down, you know, from his waist down, his legs were paralyzed. Yet he studied and prayed and found in Mark 11, chapter 22, verses, chapter 11, verses 22 to 23, he found out that Jesus died for him to be well. And he learned that reading those verses that he needed to receive it now, even while he was lying sick in bed. And he didn't give up. And one morning, the Spirit of God spoke to him. He said, now that you believe that you're well, it's 10 o'clock. Well people ought to be up at this time of day. Well, he's paralyzed from the waist down. Well people ought to be up at this time of day. That's what a well person would do. A well person would get up and go to the kitchen and fix their breakfast and go to work. That's what a well person is doing. He's lying there in bed paralyzed from the waist down. So what did he do? He picked up his legs and he threw them over the side of the bed. And he said it was like cords of wood hitting the floor. He grabbed the bedpost and he pulled himself up all along saying, thank you, Lord, that I am well. Thank you, Lord, my legs are whole. Thank you, Lord, that I am strong. Thank you, Lord, I believe that I received my healing. I think he even said, I want all the devils and all the angels, I want everyone to hear it. I believe that I received my healing. And guess what? He felt tingle. He said it felt like warm oil tingling all over him. And you ever had a numb arm or a numb leg or something? When it comes back to life, you get those sharp tingle feelings. And he said he felt like pins poking him all over. He said it hurt, but it hurt so good. There's not defeat in that, is there? He was pressing passionately and determined to do what the price that Jesus had paid for him. And all along the path, I want you to know the current situation is subject to change. Amen. That situation that you're in, that's what's going on, the precarious pickle that's happening right now, it is subject to change, and it's all based upon what's coming out of your face. If you keep saying, I'm broke, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I ain't going to make it, there's no way, there's no how, guess what you're going to have? But if you start speaking His word out of your mouth, Jesus, you said this about me. Jesus, you paid the price for me to have this, and that means your situation is subject to change. Amen? In John chapter 16, 32, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. And in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. In 1 John 5, 4, you see every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. He has conquered the world for you, and you need to accept it. You need to walk in it. You need to speak it out loud, passionately determined, just like Jesus was pressing toward the goal. That's what needs to be coming out of your face. Amen? What if it gets rough? What if it gets tough? Oh, then it's okay. You can whine. You can stress out. You can kick the dog and pull your... No! It says in Joel chapter 3, verse number 10, let the weak say, I am strong. What does the weak do? They think about being strong. They get on Facebook and ask everyone else, is it okay that I'm strong? No, it says, I will be strong when the money comes in. I'll be strong when people pet me and make me feel better. No, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. But what if you were really, really weak, Eric? What if you're just throwing up and it's coming out both ends and snot's running down your nose? What if... The Bible tells the weak to say something else. The Bible tells you and I, if you feel weak, if you look weak, if you act weak or whatever it is, to say, I am strong. Now, that's a different thing from begging God to strengthen you. He never told us to beg Him. He said that you are strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. He told you to say something. He told you to say that you're strong. And that's quoting the Word. That's quoting Him. Amen? You can say, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my spirit. The Lord is the strength of my body. He's the strength of my mind. He's the strength of my heart. He's the strength of my lungs. He's the strength of my kidneys. He's the strength of my blood cells. He's the strength of my big toe. He's the strength of my life. That's a lot of different than walking around with your face dragging on the ground, isn't it? Never again say that you're weak in any area of your life. The weaker you feel, the more you say, I am strong. I'm strong. I am strong. He said I'm strong, so I'm strong. Amen?
Amen.
You're saying His words, not your words, not what you're making up, not what's on. If the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Jesus was passionately determined, pressing toward Jerusalem to pay this price for us. Amen? In Psalms chapter 18, verse 32, it says, it is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. The English version says, He is God who makes me strong, who makes my pathway safe. He fills me. He fills me with strength and protects me wherever I go. That's a lot different than what you hear people yelling at the grocery store, isn't it? That's a lot different than what you hear people yelling at their waitress at their restaurant. You, man, you hear people saying, man, I feel weak today. I don't know what it is, but I feel draggy. It's been a hard day. I had to go to work today and put up with that boss. You just know how it is, you know. And people think there's nothing about it. You hear it everywhere, and you hear them say it, and you say, I'm just so weak. Jesus, help me. Oh, God, help me. Please help me, God. Please, 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 God. Please. That's not what He said to say. What did He say to say?
I am strong.
I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. If you want something different, then you've got to say something different because life and death are in the power of your tongue. What do you reckon Jesus was saying as He's dragging His own cross after being beat to a bloody pulp up the hill? It is God that gives me strength. I mean, we don't have record of what He's saying, but it is God that gives me strength. Can you imagine? I know when Tim and I run marathons together, you know, we're out there and we're saying, it's God that gives me strength. Mile number 21 comes around. It is God that gives me strength to get through this. Amen? Passionately determined. Pressing toward the goal. And in Psalms chapter 29:11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength to His people. He gives us that strength. So never again say, I'm weak, I'm stupid, I'm broke. It is God giving me that strength. Amen? This is my favorite one. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will go in the strength of the Lord. How many times have you said that? How many times have you said the opposite of that lately? Anybody want to admit here? Testify? Anybody want to testify? That's great and all, but what if I don't want to go and talk to the doctor because I know what he's going to say? What if I don't want to go to my boss and admit that I messed up and I need to confess? What if I don't want to go to my loved one and admit that I spent the kids' college money on tunica? First off, you need to apologize and repent. But secondly, you will go in the strength of the Lord. You will go in the strength of the Lord. Jesus knew the price he was going to pay, and he went in the strength of the Lord passionately and determined to do that for us. Amen? So say it out loud with me. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Let's say it all together. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Now, there's going to be multitudes of times where this is applicable. That's how they say it in England. There will be many times. There will be time and time where the enemy is going to come and tell you that you're not going to make it this time. You got prayed last week and you were healed, but today the pain's coming back and it's going to stay back and you're not going to get it this time. You may have gotten that bill paid off. That's great, but not this time. He's going to come and he's going to just mouth. The word says to cast away those imaginations, those things that he's speaking to us. We cast them aside and we say, not this time, devil. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Amen. He's going to say you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, you don't have the opportunity, and what are you going to do about it? You know what you need to say? Well, what are you going to do about it, devil? At the end of the Bible, it says that you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. What are you going to do about it, devil? Speak it back to him. Get sassy with him. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Amen. In Psalms chapter 84, verse number 7, it says, they go from strength to strength. They will grow stronger as they go. They will grow strong constantly in strength. Amen. Do y'all see a theme here? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Amplified says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. Infuses, it's getting on the inside of me. And if it's on the inside of me, guess what's going to come out? Not the whining, not the griping, not that bitter, but strength, love, joy, peace. Amen? I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Are you saying that every day? Are you saying the opposite? I don't know how I'm going to make it. This crazy driver's on Memphis. Aha! His strength is explosive power coming out of me, and you can't hold back an explosion. It's coming out. Strength, joy, peace, goodness, love, all that the things that Christ paid for us. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Whose might? Are we struggling to get this? No, it's His might. The Living Bible says your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. It's the Lord's mighty power, that explosive power on the inside of you. The Passion says be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. He wants you to complete your race, to do what He's called you to do, and you're not just going to barely make it, you're not going to just barely get there, but you're going to be winning as you go. You're going to be strong as you go. You're going to be so strong that you can help other people as you go. Amen. Jesus was passionately determined and always pressing toward the goal, and he completed that plan so that we can complete ours. Amen. He completed his plan so you can complete yours. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us sick. He's not going to leave us broke. His plan, the plan of God, is the glory of God prepared by the love of God, especially for the child of God, me, and we are passionately determined, pressing toward that goal. Amen? Amen. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how good you are. Father, you're a good God, you're a mighty God, you're a merciful God, and we thank you that Jesus came. He came and he started this whole process that we're celebrating this week and next week. We thank you. We thank you for the price that was paid for us. And if you're hearing the sound of my voice and you're saying, I don't know this strength, I don't know this plan, I don't know this purpose that Christ paid for me, you can have it. All you have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and I take you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for ransoming me. Thank you for paying the price for me on the cross so that I'm saved, I'm happy, I'm going to heaven, I'm strong in my body, I'm strong in my mind, and I thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. We just praise you, Father. We worship you, Father. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I am strong. I draw strength from Him, the strength that He provides for me. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. I thank you, Father, that my body, and that we're saying this all together. Say it with me. You don't have to repeat exactly what I'm saying, but say it. I'm strong in the Lord. Thank you, Father. My mind is clear. I will not forget things. I will not have a forgetful memory. I will have a long and satisfying life where I can remember things just like the drop of a hat. I thank you, Father, that my mind, my eyes are clear. I can see at nighttime. I can see up close. I can see far away. And I thank you, Father, my ears are open. My ears are ready to hear. I thank you that my lungs are full and strong and healthy. It's full of oxygen, full of the things that I need to get in there. I thank you that my blood is clear and working normally and perfectly. All the cells align up with what your word says. Strong and strong. Strong is fighting off the bacteria and all the infections, and I thank you for that, Father. I thank you that my bones are healthy. I thank you that my mind is clear. There is no oppression. I cast the devil aside right now in the name of Jesus. Oppression and depression, you leave right now in Jesus' name. Today is the day of victory. Today is the day that we are strong in our heart, strong in our mind, strong in what the Father has for us and has accomplished for us. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Say, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord. I call my blood strong. I call my bone strong. I call my joint strong. I call my digestive system strong. I thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid, and we just say thank you. We worship you. We magnify you. You are worthy to be praised, and we give you all the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.